I'm Nicholas J. Hearn from VoiceFarmers.com, and you're listening to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
Hey, it's another day on the Green Gab Podcast, and I am Marla Esser-Close of Green Home Coach, here with my co-host,
Tony Pratt with The Sound Room. It's like another day, another podcast.
I know, but it's so nice when we get to do this.
I know.
We wanted to really get into a topic today that really might sound kind of techie, folks, but it's really got some fun and thought-provoking aspects to it. And this is going to be the technical name, pollutant source control.
Ooh.
Okay, what does that mean? It means, how do you control the nasties from coming into your house when you're building, remodeling, or redoing your home?
All the bad stuff.
Right. If you've listened to us for a while, you know that we pretty much say, if it smells, it's probably suspect.
Yes.
So that's tying in with this whole idea of pollutant source control.
Right, the old, there. If it smells bad, it is bad.
Well, but sometimes we've been trained to think it smells good.
Yeah.
Think of that new car smell.
Yeah, okay. You have a point yet.
Or freshly painted.
Off-gassing.
Right. So let's just kind of go through some basics. So number one, this is a part of green certified homes and green remodeled
yes.
homes that are being certified. And it's actually in the section for indoor air quality. So really, I like to think of that on a bigger term as indoor environmental quality. So just how you interact with your environment.
And, you know, it's funny because it's a good thing that these parameters are being established because people that have air allergies have certain types of
COPD
issues.
Respiratory.
This is beneficial to them.
You know what I'm even hearing? I'm starting to hear cases where doctors are prescribing environmental solutions
yes.
to certain patients for improvement. So, you know, think air filtration,
mm-hmm.
think fresh air ventilation and mechanical ventilation systems. But here's our point with this practice, folks. Your first step is don't have it. Your second step is if you have to have it, get rid of it, mitigate it, get it out of your house mm-hmm. or your building. And then your third step is deal with it if you have to. But that's your last resort, right?
That should be the last resort.
Right. So if you work to get rid of stuff in the first place, and folks, everybody says, oh, well, if I just air out the house, everything should be fine.
No, because it stays in there.
Why does it stay in there?
It's because it's part of the house.
Well,
it's into the materials.
So let's take, I mean, this gets into basic chemistry, really,
mm-hmm.
and physics. So basic science, folks. That's why it's called building science, right? But take paint, for instance. And we had this conversation with a client not too long ago. Paint has volatile organic compounds. That's kind of the nasty stuff we're talking about. And when it's, so it's needed in paint to help bind and to help it stick to the walls and to hold the color. So
it's what replaced lead, basically.
Right. But, well, there's all these different chemicals.
Yeah.
And so they interact differently. And a lot of naturally occurring things have
sure.
VOCs in them and things that are harmful to us. We didn't invent these. You know, synthetics are oftentimes a replication of something found in nature. But nonetheless, paint has these chemical elements to it to make it work, to make it paint.
Right.
Well, one of the things that we look for in healthier homes and in green home certification is low or no VOCs. So there are paints available on the market. You can go to your favorite big box store, your favorite paint supplier. You can find it online. And many, many places, and every paint supplier I know has at least one line of no or low VOC paints. So what that says is they've had to reformulate.
Right.
They've had to figure out another way to make their paints that doesn't have it in it. But even if there are some VOCs in it while it's liquid, when it dries is when it off-gasses, right? So now everything's...
That smell you're used
tiny
to.
Tiny little molecules are leaving the paint and going out into the air where we breathe them. But what do you think? Do you think all of those little tiny molecules leave when it dries?
No, there's always some in there.
Right. So this is why you want the lowest possible VOC content that you can have in not only paints, finishes, sealants, caulks, adhesives, anything that you're bringing into your home that starts wet and gets dry,
right,
is going to off-gas. And when it off-gasses, it's going to put that stuff in your air.
You know, it's funny you mentioned this. Back years ago when I was in the cabinetry industry, part of our process was we would build everything in our shop where we had a ventilated spray booth and a facility for those materials when they were painted or finished or whatever we did to them, for them to dry and off-gas, not where our workers were. You know, we had control of it.
Whoa, wait. Let me... Workers?
Yes.
So you mean the people painting the house
yes.
could get really sick, not just the people living in there?
Yes.
Like my painter that the first time I asked him to paint with low VOC paints told me...
Wow, I didn't have a headache when
first
I was
time. That's right. I've told yep. this story before. And that was such an aha moment for him. It never dawned on him that what materials he was using...
Why do you think...
...were making him sick.
When we would have our finish people spraying, mm-hmm. you know, wood cabinetry, why do you think they wear respirators?
Right.
Not because it's good for you.
Yeah.
You know, so while it's off-gassing in the facility, usually it sits there a week or two, then it gets installed in the house. So while it's not 100%, it never will be 100%, it's, you know, 90-ish percent,
mm-hmm.
and then we can even make that number smaller, that remaining number, by focusing on, was it a no VOC stain or paint? And back in the early 2000s, when I was in that industry, the low VOC and the no VOC just wasn't there. But now,
yeah.
they'll tell you, some of it's even far superior than paints and stains that have VOCs.
It's like water-based urethanes
exactly.
for your floors. So I want to backtrack, though, to a moment, to a thing you brought up. So this whole idea of using pre-finished items in a mm-hmm. home, that means that they've been finished in a factory like what you were
correct.
Just describing. So they're still finished.
They're finished, yeah.
But they're finished in a controlled environment rather than on site. And there's a couple of big things that happen there that you were alluding to. One is not only that a lot of the VOCs are properly mitigated in a factory
mm-hmm.
where they can be handled by industrial equipment, but also the quality control is in an industrial environment.
Oh, absolutely.
So you don't have the one-off kinds of things that tend to happen on site.
Well, you know, if we'll go back to
and by the way, that's a practice if
yes.
you're using pre-finished materials on a home or a remodel.
Yes. So let's go back to, you know, the cabinetry example I was using. If we spray a piece and we don't like it, we can respray it.
Right.
If you are building shelves in a house versus having bookcases built in a factory, and then they are delivered and installed in your house, well, the carpenter that's just building them on site is only going to be able to do so much. They're going to finish it right there.
Yep.
Well, what if it's not the greatest? Are they coming back to finish it again? You know, so you don't have
you
the quality
so.
control. You would hope, but if you paid somebody, you know, $200 in cash to do something, you're going to get what you pay for.
But this is also why custom work can cost a lot more.
Absolutely.
Because it's one-off work.
If it's done properly,
right.
if it's managed, it's going through all these different steps. You know, we always went through the steps of not only did we build the cabinetry, we assembled everything in the shop the way it would look in your house. So you could come in, look at it, view it, and say yes or no. You can make your changes there before it ever got to your house.
So paints, finishes, mm-hmm. like urethane on your floors, stains, caulks. I'm trying to think of all the things that start out liquid
insulation.
And go dry. Well, let's come back to insulation because I want to, that's kind of a separate topic. Sealants, like foam seals or
right.
caulking. Adhesives, that's the other one I was trying to think.
Yeah, any kind of glues.
So you might use glues to glue a floor down.
Glue
or
a floor down,
carpet.
The glue in a countertop if you're doing any kind of a laminate. Mm-hmm.
So there's low and no VOC options for
all of, them.
Of those
yep.
things. Now, I sometimes get people look at me and go, well, why do we have a high VOC option? And I wish I had a better answer for that.
It's not that it's a high VOC option. It's just what the standard always was.
Well, and I think a lot of it is we're in a paradigm shift right now.
Yes.
And companies are, as they're having to figure out new formulas.
It's things that
they're
never
doing
thought
it with
about.
Yeah, they're doing it with new lines rather than wholesale. Now, there are some companies that are dedicated to their entire line of product being in new formulations that are lower and no VOC.
Right.
And, you know, we applaud anybody that is doing that and anybody that would like to support those businesses.
Yeah, it's the legacy companies, the ones that have been doing it for a very long time. They're the ones that have to reformulate everything.
Yeah. So hang tight, and we're going to come back and talk about insulation. I know you're super excited about this, but we got a twist for you.
In her book, Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices for a Better Home, author Marla Esser Close shares her expertise and empowers readers to make simple changes to their buying habits that affect a home both inside and out. Whether living in a small apartment in the city or in a single-family home in the suburbs, Marla shows consumers how to make any home a green home. Get the book now at livinggreenbook.com. That's livinggreenbook.com.
Thought about a career in voiceover? Need a great, cost-effective on-hold message for your organization or business? Don't know where to start? Check out The Voice Farm, your one-stop shop for voiceover needs. Check it out now by accessing The Voice Farm at voicefarmers.com and see what difference can be made with a company that is truly outside the box. From The Voice Box, voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
So gabbing about pollutant source control. I just love saying that because it sounds so blah.
Source control. Well, this is going to be boring.
The nasties, right?
It's kind of scary when you think about it.
Yeah, you got all these little funny molecules of stuff that we don't know exactly how it interacts with our bodies, but it can make us sick.
Well, think about it this way. When you pull out the air filter in your car to change it.
Or your house.
What do you think it's doing to your lungs?
Yep. Oh, that's a really good point. And so our lungs are filtering all this stuff too, which is, source of a lot of disease. So case in point here, folks, this whole idea of pollutant source control really centers around volatile organic compounds or VOCs and off-gassing into your home, into your lungs, because they're in the air you breathe. And we don't realize it, but our indoor air quality is more polluted than our outdoors now. Back in the 70s, that was probably the other way around, but we've really worked hard to clean up.
It's flipped, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
worked hard to clean up the outdoors, but we've forgotten about the indoors kind of sort of. So this is part of that.
Well, and we're getting the double whammy because of the whole advances of energy efficiency in the building envelope.
And we lock you in.
You're just tightening up that house.
Right.
Where the house itself doesn't breathe an air exchange like it used to, you have to mechanically do it.
And that's the point.
Tighter house, pollutants inside, they stay there.
And so tight house is important. Don't get us wrong here. But in order to get all the benefits, the health benefits of a tighter home, because when you lock in energy that you're spending to heat and cool your air, you're also locking out the stuff that can come into your house through those leaks.
Right.
But then the next step is I have to look at what's going to be in that house and not lock that in too. So that's why this whole idea of pollutant source control is so, so key. And then you also still need that fresh air ventilation to go hand in glove with getting some of this stuff out.
Right.
As much as you possibly can.
The nice thing is at least the homeowner themselves doesn't have to worry about the air exchange. That's handled by the HVAC contractor. But today's house is
always
codified.
A good idea to double check.
It is, but it's codified. They go through inspections on all of that too.
They do, but it's heating and cooling has been it's been a tough area, and it's a tough thing to do. It's a big system in our homes.
It's harder for existing home stock.
Oh yeah, totally.
New home stock. If you start building a house today, you don't even have to worry about it because you won't get occupancy if it's not right.
Well, that's true, and that does help. That is to protect the safety and well-being, folks, of you.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's why that's so important.
Yeah, everybody complains about codes.
Yeah, but they're important.
They're not there to be a nuisance to people. They're there to keep you and I safe.
Yeah.
Both, you know, our health, our welfare, and it's also to keep our investment safe.
Okay, so investment. I'm going to segue here. So we were talking, I kind of alluded really quick as we were closing out the first segment. Talked a whole bunch about paint, sealants, finishes, all kinds of stuff that starts wet and dries and releases the VOCs in the air. Insulation is kind of where we stopped. Well, a big popular item right now in energy efficient homes is spray foam insulation.
Oh, yeah. whether it's in the walls or whether it's in that basement above the foundation mm-hmm. and the, below the subfloor.
But it's another one that starts wet and dries.
Right.
So it off gases.
Yes. Yes.
So when you are choosing a spray foam insulation, pay attention to the VOC levels. And there are options out there that are much lower in VOC content than others. When they tell you that nobody can come back in that house for 2 days because it's airing out, you know that's got a lot of VOCs in it.
That's a problem.
Even the lower VOCs, you're going to see the people who install it come in hazmat suits with respirators. And they should, because they're exposed to it many times longer than we are. If it's...
Oh, depending on the size of the house.
If it cures quick enough, right?
Well, think about it. Depending on the size of the house, it could be days just to insulate it.
Right. It can be.
If they're doing the spray foam and they got to, you know, cut it out and all that.
Now, there's also sometimes you'll do like a... We used to see a wet cellulose insulation a lot, but we're not seeing that so much anymore. We're seeing the dry.
Yeah, it's going from what I'm seeing, it goes straight from the bad insulation, you know, mm-hmm. the rolls.
Fiberglass. And we're now seeing cotton bats mm-hmm. and other natural materials.
But what I'm seeing, it's going straight from that right to the foam insulation.
Okay. And I know that varies by location, folks, because we're seeing a lot in Oklahoma City, a lot of the loose fill with the nets mm-hmm. That they blow into the wall cavity. So actually, I'm going to put a little plug in here. There is a company, that has a new product out called AeroBarrier. And AeroBarrier was launched at the International Builder Show in 2018 in January. And it is an air sealing product, but it is actually GreenGuard certified.
Right.
So it doesn't have a lot of VOCs. But they work to seal up all the little teeny tiny leaks you can't see.
So instead of one guy with the caulk gun walking around putting high VOC caulk in the house.
Yep. So they can do this, and they do it with a blower door, so that big fancy door that pressurizes the house, and they use a computer, so they can actually dial in what level of tightness they want for the house, and it stops when you get there.
Oh, wow.
So it's an ingenious product. They won Best of Show at IBS. They won Most Innovative Product at IBS. They're up as one of the finalists for Edison Awards, so they're super innovative company doing some amazing things. And in all transparency, folks, they are a supporter and sponsor of the Green Gap podcast, but we've just been blown away with some of the innovation that we're seeing out there, and these guys are part of that, these folks are. But here's the deal, is when your home is better sealed, and it's better sealed with the low VOC product, so you don't mm-hmm. have to worry about that, then you can choose other insulation types that are complementary to that.
Right.
And it's going to give you more options, and it's also going to keep all that stuff from coming in and out, so you're closing down that air transference from in and out. The best thing I love about an airtight home is the less dust.
Oh, like, yeah.
Where we are in Oklahoma City, the way our house is oriented on our site, we get a lot of the prevailing winds. And we have a Shelty. Oh, my gosh. Between the Shelty and the prevailing winds, I dust about every 5 days. And, you know, the house is pretty tight. It's actually got a HERS rating on it. But if it was tighter, that would help
right.
a lot, because the dust, I started to say sand, but it's not really sand, is so fine that it can get through those cracks. And this is why this is so important. So it's not just important that you're controlling what's inside the house, but keeping stuff out, which actually wasn't the topic of this.
You're controlling the airflow.
But this is such a big deal on so many fronts of what we have. And when you think about how you can control what you can control, that means the things that you can't control aren't quite as big of a deal.
Right.
Because there's always going to be some stuff we can't control.
I sit there and I tell that to my sales team all the time. Control what you can control. Don't worry about everything else.
This whole idea of insulation is another aspect of that, and how you can control the VOCs coming in to your home. Because you really don't want to breathe them in and out.
No, you don't.
It's just, you know, we kind of don't pay attention as much to what's in stuff. And it's not always easy to find out.
Really, you know, the first time I was ever even aware of it was early 2000s. We were working for a client. Their son had asthma.
Yeah.
And everything that was going into that house mattered. And this was before manufacturers even thought about air quality. You think, you know, 2004, 2005, nobody really thought about it too much. And just trying to find no VOC, no formaldehyde in materials was a challenge.
And formaldehyde has become a really big deal.
It's in everything.
It's now ranked as a carcinogen.
Yeah, and it's in everything, it seems.
Well, it's a binder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a chemical property that really gives us a chance to pull things together.
If your house is 10, 15 years old or older, and there's any kind of particle board in that house, there's formaldehyde.
Okay, particle board is something that's in a lot of stuff. So you know what? Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk more about other places that you're going to find these hidden VOCs, these pollutants in your house, and what you can do about it and how you go find some solutions. So we'll be right back.
It's not nearly as cool as the amber housing the ancient mosquito who had a taste of prehistoric dinosaur blood, but it does hold the thoughts of 1993's Jurassic Park, directed by Steven Spielberg. Be sure to check out a podcast 65 million years in the making by driving your custom branded Jeep over to twoguystalking.com/Jurassic Park. It's the Two Guys Talking Perspective Review of Jurassic Park. 1993, directed by Steven Spielberg. Only from Two Guys Talking.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners, as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
So, still gabbing about pollutant source control.
Fun stuff.
Hey, and we're on Facebook Live now, too.
Hello.
So we got a chance to pull in that audience as well. And we've really been having this great conversation about all the volatile organic compounds, all the kind of little nasty chemicals that come into your house through unsuspecting sources like paints and sealants and caulks and
cabinetry and furniture and carpeting.
Well, this is what I wanted to get into.
Yes.
Is these ones that we haven't talked about yet. And with you having a background in cabinetry, so we start talking about particle board and how it had formaldehyde in it, and there's a lot of adhesives in it, and all of this
can have
nasty stuff.
Basically recycled material. I mean, it's ground up. You have glue in there that binds it all together into that sheet, and formaldehyde, VOCs, all of that just exists in the sheet itself.
And the glues.
Well, yeah.
Or in the resins.
I'm talking about, you know, the actual sheet of particle board.
Okay.
It's all throughout.
Because particle board is little bits glued together under pressure,
all
right?
All glued together.
Okay. So
it's all fused together.
What all do we find particle board in?
Oh, gosh. Cabinetry, subfloors,
furniture.
Some of your flooring. It could be in your roof. It could be in the furniture. Gosh, there's just a lot of different things you can think about that might have particle board floating around.
So if your home doesn't have the kind of boards that don't have volatile organic compounds and formaldehyde, that stuff's off-gassing where?
It's off-gassing constantly in the kitchens, in the bedrooms, closets, laundry rooms.
So your entire home.
Bathrooms, all over the place.
Okay, so we're running ventilation fans or mechanical ventilation. Isn't that getting enough out?
Well, it's going to get some out. Because typically, if it's a newer home, I think there's like two or three air exchanges it does an hour.
It's a pretty tight house.
Very tight house, yeah, depending on what the code is.
Average older home is like...
Oh, older homes.
20?
Yeah, it's constantly doing it. But sure, it's going to get some out. It's bringing some fresh air in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like exhaling, you know, when you exhale a breath, CO2 goes out, you inhale, O2 comes in. Well, just because you have air exchange, it's constantly off-gassing.
Right.
It's not going anywhere. Sure, over time, it's less and less and less and less, but it's like a half-life for uranium.
Right, because it cures.
Yep.
Yeah. But you're right. Half-life is a good way to look at it.
It's always there.
So here's kind of the conundrum, and we hear this from a lot of people. Well, I build a tight house. I'm locking myself in with all this stuff, which basically means that they don't want to figure out how not to have all that stuff. But a tight house also means that you're conditioning your air and keeping it where you want it.
Correct.
So that it can make for more comfortable, more health, more wellness for us.
Right. It all goes back to in the 70s when the oil embargo hit.
Yeah.
And everybody started panicking about the cost of energy. So what was the first thing they did? They started sealing the house.
We bubble wrapped them.
Yep, they bubble wrapped them.
Exactly.
Nobody thought at all about what was inside the house. And this is probably one of the reasons why, starting with the Gen X kids, you saw a spike in asthma.
Probably.
We're not sure.
We haven't read anything saying that, but it makes a lot of sense.
There's a good chance that this was what it was.
Makes a lot of sense.
So now all of a sudden, over the years, as building science became more advanced, it was about, okay, well, yes, we're going to make it tight to make it more energy efficient. But now the focus has to be what's on the inside.
So the conundrum sounds like, people, well, hey, if I don't have a tight house, I don't have to worry about all this stuff being in my house.
That's incorrect.
But that says that you're going to have a leaky house. It's bringing in outside nasties like pollen and other things that set off allergies and asthma, as well as on top of
what's off-gassing
all
inside
the stuff
house.
Inside your house that's off-gassing. So the way to correct this, ideally, tighten your house.
Yep.
Add some ventilation.
Yes.
If you live in a great climate where you can open the windows every day or every few days, open them. I mean, every time it's warm enough, I air out my house, even with ventilation.
Oh, I have a sunroom, so I can open them up.
Oh, nice.
Whenever, I would say, once it hits about 60 degrees, I can crank them open.
Yeah. So the third way is control what you bring in the house.
Absolutely.
So this means that you want to choose things that have low to no VOCs, anything liquid that's used in the house and that will dry.
Right.
Paint, sealants, adhesive caulk.
If you're looking at furniture, does it have any kind of a certification?
And furniture is a hard one because the builder doesn't control that.
Right.
That's either the interior designer or the homeowner. And it's harder to find out what furniture is made with. Try going and ask for an ingredient sheet on a piece of furniture.
Well, some of it do.
Ingredient, that was
some
right.
Some of it, though, does carry certifications like Green Guard, things like that.
Well, and there's
that.
A Sustainable Furniture Council, too.
They can tell you.
But, you know, finding out what, there's not a lot of transparency in furniture, and there's not a lot of transparency in some items. We're seeing a lot more in building products.
Right.
And that's what it really takes is, and we're starting to see a request for transparency on a lot of things. So it's not just building products, but knowing what's in it, where it came from, how it's made, that's important stuff for us. And while our builders and our remodelers have a lot of that information, there's no reason that we can't take a part in that, too,
right,
as individuals.
I would still think, though, since furniture has to be manufactured somewhere along the line, there's got to be a material safety data sheet.
You'd think.
Somewhere.
You'd think.
In the paper trail.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a few of my designer friends about that, and hopefully I'll find it in time to post it on the podcast show notes. Because that's a really good question, and we'll post the Sustainable Furniture Council as well. There is actually a big box store that many of us like to shop at, and I'm going to give them a free plug here. But IKEA, pretty much everything they do is sustainable, and you can find the materials, where it was manufactured, and really pretty much information about almost anything.
And it doesn't seem like it's that much more expensive.
It's not
than
expensive.
Other
no, it's less in most cases, in my experience. That's my personal experience, folks. But we have several pieces of IKEA. And one of the reasons I really felt very comfortable doing business with them is because of their commitment to sustainability. And I can't tell you how many people say, oh, I didn't know IKEA was sustainable. It's like,
Well, it's more of a European company, so you would expect it.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're going to take the Facebook Live off because my phone is dying. So Facebook Live, folks, we'll see you later. We're going to finish wrapping up the podcast on Facebook Live. Find us when you can on thegreengabpodcast.com. Okay.
Need
back
to charge
to,
that phone next
back
time.
To podcast world. Well, apparently it drained really fast. Because I thought it was charged up this morning, but apparently not enough. Anyway, y'all are getting the point here, is that asking a few questions to understand better what's in the stuff that makes up your home is really important to your health. And not just your health, but the health of your visitors and your family and your friends, the people that are in your home. And also, when this stuff off-gasses, it goes out into the bigger environment. So it can affect, on a bigger scale.
Can affect the community in large.
Right. So you know, are we adding to, I'm going to get the science wrong here, but are we adding to the greenhouse gases or ozone or whatever the difference? Because some of those compounds do contribute.
Well, in the big picture of sustainability, it's all about what your footprint is into the environment. You know, everybody wants to talk about carbon footprint, but in reality, it's an environmental footprint.
I get you. So it's asking those questions, understanding just a little bit that you have a different choice.
Oh, yeah.
And back
just
to what my whole book
yourself.
Was about, simple choices for a better home. And this is one of those simple choices. Just make a choice that doesn't have the bad
stuff. It's all about just educating yourself.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Let's face it, some people this is more important to than others in
I
their
agree.
Own minds. Person with a family member who has airborne sensitivities, whether it's asthma, you know, pollen, whatever, this is first and foremost in his mind. He understands this because he lives with it every day.
Yep.
Somebody like me, if I was not in this industry at all, I might not care. Single guy, whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Until you start sneezing.
Yeah, I'm probably one of the most healthy people there are. I have the black plague going through our office at work yet. I haven't been sick in years.
Good, keep it that way. But this stuff matters, folks. That's really what we want to leave you with. And
choices
read
matter.
A label. Read a label. Make a simple choice. Make a different choice. Because if you can make five different choices in your home, that's going to get you on the road to making a difference.
And the nice thing, too, is manufacturers and companies that do go through certification processes, they're proud of it.
Yeah.
They plaster it everywhere. So it's easy to find if it has been through it.
So shortcut, labels to look for, like Green Guard, Green Seal, Indoor Air Quality Plus is more of a, you know, like a home certification. Mm-hmm. But that's another one to look for. That's actually often partnered with Energy Star. Oh, there's one more I was trying to think of. If I think of it in time, I'll put it on the podcast show notes. But those labels are third-party certifications that someone has had done.
Right.
But they have gone through the extra due diligence to say, hey, I want to make sure I'm documenting what I've done and so I can share it with the world in full integrity and
they're
transparency.
Outside certifications, which is important.
Right.
It's not they're self-certifying. Somebody else physically goes in and verifies it.
And those are a great shortcut to make your simple choices easier. So definitely keep an eye out for them. There's actually a little more information on this in my book, too, if that's of interest to you. There's always a link to the book at the bottom of the show notes, too. So there's plenty of information out there. And ask your builder or remodeler or interior designer to help you out with getting that stuff out of your house so you can have a better, healthier home. And that's really it. Anything else?
Nope. I think we covered it.
Mr. Cabinet Maker.
Long time ago.
Your expertise comes in very handy.
Sometimes.
Well, we appreciate you all listening in on the Green Gab podcast today, and you can catch us on iTunes. Please be sure to leave a review. We really appreciate your feedback, and it helps the show immensely when you're able to do that. You can also find the show notes, links to all kinds of things on our website, and that is greengabpodcast.com. So thank you again and have an awesome day.
See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab Podcast and for joining us on our own personal green odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. Links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.